In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talk on the family altar, or family prayers, or family devotions, whatever you want to call it. A missionary by the name of Aziel, I don't know how you pronounce it, maybe it's Aziel, A-Z-I-E-L, Jones, a man who was a missionary for many, many years in Costa Rica, and his son, Peter, gave a message in Spanish at a family conference sponsored by the Bible Society of Costa Rica. And I thought this would be very appropriate for you fathers who may be wondering how you can establish a family prayer time. This is what Peter Jones says. "Since I can remember, my faithful parents led me in the paths of the Lord. By His grace, they raised 8 children. Today, each one loves and serves God, whether as a mechanic, a literacy worker, or in translation, whether in the jungle or the city, whether among Muslims, Indians, or Hindus. The question arises, what did my parents do? It's a shame that my dad cannot be here with my mom in order that they themselves could speak. But being the first child, I will dare, with a certain fear, open up the trunk of memories. Oh, that I may be able to extract the essence of a typical day of our family life and express the principle of the dynamics which moved them." The first memory, and he puts this in Spanish, Rocío y rodillas, which means morning dew and bent knees. Morning dew and bent knees. The rooster crows. That rude alarm breaks the silence of the chilly dawn. It is still dark. Dad arises and lights candles. He puts on coffee and shaves. Then he goes to the study, wrapped in a sweater and afghan. The dawn breaks, with Bible and coffee in hand. After reading a while, he closes the Bible, kneels by the cot, and prays. You know, that's almost an exact description of what my father used to do, minus the coffee in hand. He waited till he got to the breakfast table to drink the coffee, but he always had an afghan. He always went into his study. It was still dark. He knelt and he prayed. Peter Jones goes on to say, "The success of my parents is due, first of all, to the level of fellowship that they had alone with God. The Lord's servant feeds himself. The discipline of the closed door before beginning the demands of the day was a determining factor in their raising us children. For them, that time, even now, is a habit of life, nothing sporadic. Normally it is practiced at a fixed time, a fixed place, every day. They read the Bible from cover to cover each year and intercede for themselves, their children, and the world. Their goal has been growth, not a dead formalism. Talking to God face to face, unloading their feelings, calling, groaning, entering the closet in despair, but having heard the still small voice in order to live another day for Him." You know that the scripture talks about entering into your closet. That's just the old King James word for any small, quiet place where you can be alone. But my daughter actually does use a closet at times. She finds it's one of the very few places in the house where her children are not likely to find her when she wants to get away. Peter Jones's second memory. Proverbs for breakfast. The table is set. Milk is in the pitcher. There are eggs from our scraggly chickens. There is bread. At one end of the table, Dad takes his place. At the other end, Mom. In between, there are 8 children. By the bowl of oatmeal lies the Bible. Dad opens it and reads a chapter from Proverbs. "My son," etc. From an intimate relationship with God, flowed an order that built the house, structured life, and determined success. This order is known in Proverbs as wisdom, and the relationship is known in Proverbs as the fear of the Lord. This unusual spirituality taught us to speak the truth, to flee foolishness and laziness, to receive correction, to be disciplined, to acquire prudence and courage, to help one's neighbors, to work hard, and finally to find God in every corner of life. The third memory, the verbs. My parents had to learn an Indian language, create an alphabet, and then translate the New Testament. But that language was very complex in the verb system. After more than 10 years of hard work, the key to the verbs had not been found. Finally, my mother decided to fast and pray for a week. During this period, she had an idea. It was the key to the verb system. The fourth memory, the 700. The translation of the New Testament was advancing, but in spite of everything, the church was not being established. All the family was involved. Some helped with literacy. Others visited homes. Others led Bible studies. One day, there was a great big meeting of all the Indians to receive a visit from the president of Costa Rica. My dad counted almost 700 adults that passed through a gate. But the president's helicopter never arrived. My dad ate the president's dinner. That night, after my dad returned home, my mom envisioned that when Christ comes, he will find more than 700 Indians awaiting his return. It seemed like a dream in that moment, but as the years slowly advance, that vision of the 700 is being fulfilled. The missionary vision was part of our family experience. There was balance. On the one hand, the ministry most important to my parents was their own family. But on the other hand, they achieved this objective without allowing the outside ministry to be something apart from our lives. Our home was the platform of their ministry. During the day, we discussed what was happening, good and bad. At night, there was united prayer for our needs. On weekends, we accompanied them in the services. As the years passed, we became more involved until now. A great part of the responsibility is in our hands. Dad and Mom are a united team. My mom never pulled the rug out from under the ministry. The Word of God is the center of their life, their marriage, their home, their ministry. So, by summary, what is the goal of the Christian home? That it be reproduced. And what is the purpose of the ministry of the Christian home? Transference, passing on something to another. My parents always desired that we, someday, might be where they are in the ministry. For them, this was the best vocation. That dream is being fulfilled now. My parents are not perfect. They committed errors. They are human. But they have been always real, without double-mindedness and hypocrisy, with much discipline and plenty of love. Their commitment has been to make happen what God committed to Abraham. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." That's Peter Jones's testimony about his parents' faithfulness in raising their children. I don't know how many fathers of families may be listening to me today, but have you thought of how solemn and high a privilege and responsibility it is to be a father? And have you given much thought to the fact that the day is going to come when you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you will have to give an account of your faithfulness in teaching your children God's word? And what if they don't want to listen? That they will have to answer to God for. It's your job to make sure that they are physically present. It's your job, faithfully, calmly, quietly, to read the Bible, to pray with them and for them. And so it is my prayer now that you mothers and fathers will earnestly seek God's will in this matter. Can you offer to God the excuses that you've been offering to each other? We don't have time. There are too many differences in schedule. One person leaves for school for one thing and somebody else leaves for a job at another time. There just isn't any way. It is always possible to do the will of God, but it is not always possible without sacrifice. Think about it.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.